All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 to start with. We had a good trip this week, and I thank you for being here and being in your place. While we were out, and it's a good time, seeing a lot of birds, killed a lot of birds, and killed a lot of birds, girls. I thought about how sweet them little birds was every time I blow one to pieces. Just praise God. But that's all right. Don't mind it when you go to eat them chicken nuggets. Don't think about what I'm talking about. Was on our way back to Rapid City, and they're going to take me to the Badlands in South Dakota. Just my vocabulary can't describe the handiwork of God. It's just absolutely breathtaking. It's magnificent. It's awesome. It's amazing. It's just all of the above. And you look at that, and I think, it's amazing how an icicle can fall out of the Milky Ways and create all that. You have to be an educated idiot to believe that. You hear me? I looked at that and said, it seemed like the more educated we get, the more common sense says goodbye. You know, I mean, just telling you, man, it takes God to do that stuff. And then the layers, you know, you just got, oh, it's amazing, the layers of colors of purples and oranges and yellows and blues and just layered in, and that icicle caused all that. Then they drove me a little bit further, and we went up to Mount Rushmore. And just got chills standing there at Mount Rushmore, and zoomed through the museum. Because of time, we just zoomed through it. And those men up there on the side of that mountain just carved into that granite stone. And I thought it'd be good if Jesus was up there. Amen. George Washington was a founding father. Abraham Lincoln was a damnation. George Jefferson was a whoremonger. Just the list goes on. I appreciate those men, you know, for what they was to this country. But Jesus said, if I be lifted up, amen, I'd draw all men to me. I said, it'd be better if they'd just carved the name of Jesus Christ. And so, but I tell you, it was amazing. It really was. And if you get a chance to take your children out there, that's what I told my cousin. I wanted to hug him and kiss him for taking me out there and letting me see it. But I can't do that because I'm not a sodomite and I'm not a sissy. So I said, man, I'm going to bring my wife just so I can hug and kiss her. Amen. And I thought, man, it's amazing. Your children can't appreciate it, but one day when they look back, they'll appreciate it. And probably when you read that stuff in history, you can, because that kind of history's been taken away. That part of history's been taken away from us, y'all. The kind of history we're interested in today is who ran the most football touchdowns in a season. That's where history's being made today. That's the kind of history you hear them putting the emphasis on today. And the history of this country and the history of this book, and it's being done away with. About the only history that matters is what we owe the black race.
Right.
Amen. I got one man that understands some of this. Amen. Amen. That's about the only history they're leaving us today, that we were cruel to the black people. Let me tell you something. I ain't never been cruel to no black person. It's 2021. I don't owe no man nothing. So, praise God, other than just the gospel, me living right, and as far as giving them money and paying restitution, they don't deserve nothing, and I don't owe them nothing. Amen. Amen. By the way, we bought countries and said, if it's so bad here, you can go there. And they decided to stay here.
Right.
No, we'll stay in America. We got it so bad, we'll just stay here. We bought countries so they'd have places to inhabit, so they didn't have to go back to the motherland and get chased right through the woods with a spear and get eaten by their neighbors. And I don't know where that stuff comes from. I think because I'm on Facebook, I got to say some stupid stuff. Amen. But it's true, whether we think it's stupid or not. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I was riding down that highway, Highway 90 going back to Rapid City. And we was behind a truck, Eric, and
we was in an 18-wheeler. And, you know, those things are supposed to be somewhat square, just a little out of square, act a little taller than they are wide. But I noticed the bed of that truck, I don't know, I didn't pay attention in math. The only thing I paid attention to was my wife. She was in my math class. And I was looking at her instead of the teacher. But I noticed, you know, that truck was kind of doing like that. That truck bed was leaning like that. And the hind end of that 18-wheeler was on that angle, while the cab of that 18-wheeler was on that angle. And we was facing about 70, 80 mile an hour winds coming from the side of us. And I said, told my cousin, I said, son, if you're going to pass it, you better punch it. I said, man, blow by that sucker, because he's going to either come apart or fall over. And so he punched and just zoomed by him. We didn't get a couple miles up the road, and there's an 18-wheeler laying over on its side. And within a mile, another 18-wheeler laying over on its side. And a couple more miles, there's another 18-wheeler laying over on the side. And one of them was a FedEx truck, and I went, that explains FedEx. That explains it. That's why you get all this stuff in FedEx, and it's destroyed by the time it gets to your house. They have to go through them Montana windstorms. Amen. Amen. That was a shot at the FedEx people. Never seen. I put a PVC pipe in the mail, and I took Schedule 40 pipe and put a glue cap on one end and a screw cap on the other end. Put some fishing rods in it. Shipped it to Florida, and by the time it got there, that Schedule 40 pipe was demolished. I'm telling you, they purposely destroy your packages.
Man, that's exactly right.
Amen. Amen.
And a woman had the audacity to come up to my house the other day and tell me I needed house numbers. I got house numbers on the front of my house. They got lights. I got house numbers on my mailbox. I got more house numbers than I really want. Amen. I don't care if it, look. And thank God I was in the shower. Steve said, it's a good thing he's in the shower. I said, well, she said, that FedEx lady, she was a Yankee and suggested we need some new house numbers. I said, yeah, it's a good thing I was in the shower. It's a good thing. Amen. 5 18-wheelers got blowed over by the wind. Me and David Robertson had to help each other get in and out of the truck. We couldn't open a truck door. The wind was blowing so strong, you just try to put your body against it and push it. And then when you open it, that's the same way. Somebody had to get on the inside and push. Well, that guy, I opened it one time at the truck stop, and it about blew the door off. Zach and him was in amateur winds. We were in real winds. And I got to thinking, that's what we need, Brother Church. We need the wind of God to blow through our life like that and blow us off of our axle.
That's right.
Amen. It'd do us good to let the wind of God blow in our life like that. Just lose control of it all. Amen. Maybe if we'd end up on our back somewhere in a ditch, maybe we could get some help.
Amen. I seen one of them, boy, praise God, help was out there on this way. I said, boy, that's what we need.
What Zach was talking about in Sunday school this morning. We're helpless. Get to the place where we're helpless.
I was passing them truck drivers, boy, and I seen them. Hey, listen, I seen them truck drivers, and I'd look up there at them, and I'd sit in the back seat of the pickup truck, four-door truck, and I'd look back, and that truck driver would be sitting up on that steering wheel fighting that thing. I said, boy, ain't that just like church? People sitting up on the steering wheel of this life and they're fighting that thing, son. They're fighting the wind of God.
God trying to do something in their life and he's just fighting, grabbing that wheel, fighting, setting up on that thing.
I said, man, that looks like a lost man sitting in the house of God.
Well, I tell you, just let God have control. Just let God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, and not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Ain't you glad of that? Praise God. Amen. I'm glad He wrote upon my heart one day. Praise God. He put a new name in there. And such trust have we through Christ to God's work. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers to the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Amen. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, and it was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? And can I tell you, the ministration of the Spirit is much more glorious. Amen. Let me give you a verse to explain that. Therefore, being justified by faith. Amen. Justified. What about that? That's glorious. I was thinking, man, it's just glorious to be justified. What does that mean? Just as if I'd never sinned. My sins are gone. That's glorious, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God. That's what the law couldn't do. The law couldn't take away my sin. The law could bring up my sin. The law could expose my sin. But the law never could take away my sin. It's a glorious thing how to be under the blood of Jesus. It's a glorious thing how to have God written upon the heart. It's a glorious thing to be saved. Amen. That ain't gonna fade away.
Yes.
Amen. It almost goes, it just goes from one glory to another glory until we reach glory. Hallelujah. And then all will be glory. All will be joy. Won't that be wonderful?
Amen.
How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of commendation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. And I say, amen. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? Praise God. That's what my boys tell me all the time. Jacob, he says, why did y'all have any more kids? I go, well, what? He said, well, you started out with perfection. Why did you have any more? I mean, you really didn't need to strive for anything. That's what Jesus is, son. Praise God. He's the more excellent. He's the most excellent. He is precious.
Yeah.
For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then we have such hope, we use plainness of speech. Preachers just speak plain. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face. Hey, look here. I ain't got no veil over my face this morning. I'm not leaving anything uncovered if I can help it. Amen. I want to be plain. I want to lay all the cards out on the table. I want you to be able to take it for face value. I don't want you to have to guess at nothing. I want you to have a good understanding of what I'm talking about. I believe in one sense that veil was like this, Brother Zach. They seen the glory of God in that lawgiver, Moses. And the glory left Moses' face and entered their heart. That's right. That word of God as Moses spoke, and that veil hid the disappearance of the glory of God on Moses. And you can see that carried out into the New Testament, where the glory of the law departed and the glory of Christ came into the view. Amen. And then he said, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, listen, remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart.
That's why people cannot see how they are and who they are and what they are before God. That's why people are unrepentant. That's why people are lost. That's why people don't see their need of a Savior, because that veil is still over their eyes. And they cannot see. They can hear about the law. The law is their schoolmaster. It brings us to Christ. And when that law is preached, they don't even get a hold of what's being said. That veil is there. It means nothing to them. We're living in a world today where the Word of God means nothing to people.
Right.
You can tell people what the law says and they can smile after church. How in the name of God do you smile after the Word of God is being preached and you're on your way to hell because the veil has covered your eyes and you don't even see how lost you are? If you did, son, you wouldn't smile. If you did, you wouldn't open your mouth. I venture to say if you did, bless God, you wouldn't hurry to a dinner table. What you'd probably, if you did, I believe you'd find you an altar somewhere and beg God and not quit until God removes the veil. And you get saved. But there's a veil there.
But even unto this day, when Moses is read, that's the law, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the heart, when that heart turns to the Lord, listen to what God said, the veil shall be taken away. Why won't God save me? Because, bless God, your heart ain't never turned to God.
That's why people are lost. Because their heart is toward everything but God. Because when your heart turns to God, God will remove the veil. And when the veil is removed, you can see His glory.
God said, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. I'll get it one day. I'll take care of it one day.
Sunday school teacher was tearing it up. And I say, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Because I tell you, it's not your picking and choosing. The Bible says in the next verse, the Lord is that Spirit. Talking about that New Testament. Talking about that glorious New Testament. Talking about salvation. And it takes the Spirit of God to be saved. And He said, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Liberty for what? Liberty to get saved. Liberty, praise God, to turn your heart to Him. Liberty, praise God, to have the veil removed. Liberty, praise God, to give Him the glory. Liberty, praise God, to worship Him. Liberty to get your name. You say, preacher, how? What are you talking about? I'm telling you, you're going to get in when the Spirit is speaking, when the Spirit is moving, when the Spirit is stirring, or you won't get in at all.
I heard a testimony this week. A man lived like hell for 80 years of his life. And 2 weeks before he died, 7 days, 2 weeks before he died, a man went and told him about Jesus. He cussed him out and run him off. He said, I'll get it when I'm ready to get it. I've got a plan. I know what I'm going to do. And 7 days before he died, he called him in. He said, I'm now ready. Now that my life is over. Now that I can't do nothing else. Now that I can't party. Now that I can't live like hell. I'm now ready. And that was his testimony. And they all shouted. And said he got saved.
saved. I tell you, friend, if the Spirit of God didn't stir in his heart and hang him over hell, he's in hell today.
That's right.
You don't decide when you're going to get saved.
Right.
You don't make that choice. You get saved when God says, or you don't get saved. Man, his time might have been when that Christian went over there to tell him about Jesus and he cussed him out and run him off. While he thought there was still a chance he could get off that deathbed and go back to his wicked ways. That might have been it. I'm sick and tired of hearing about all these conversions without convictions anyway. I get sick and tired of hearing about conversions without being people being transformed and being made a new creature in Christ. I don't got confidence. Amen. Hillbilly talk. I don't got confidence in nobody that's ever been saved. And ain't never passed from death unto life. Ain't never been a new creature in Christ. Man. Therefore, if any man be a new creature, and be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Amen.
Amen. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. The liquor bottle gets shot down. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lord of God.
Whatever sin it is that's in our lives, praise God, he'll get rid of it. Sure will. Well, look at chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. See, Paul's saying all this because of what he just said in chapter 3. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Can I tell you where you are today, sinner friend? You're in the place of blindness. Your mind is blind. Do you know why you're lost today? Because your mind is blind. You're blind. That's why you're lost. Because if you saw this thing, praise God, it'll make a difference in you. Believe that. Amen. I ain't trying to preach Calvinism. I'm just trying to tell you, when God opens your eyes, son, it's eye-opening. Amen. It's life-changing. Well, we've been looking at the tool shed of Satan for a few weeks now. But all that other stuff that I said was kind of just a preview to try to get to where we're at here in this verse. This verse is my main attention. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why is it blinded them? What's it trying to do? It's trying to hinder the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Because if the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, if it breaks through, it'll shine. If the scale, if the veil is removed, then the light of the glorious gospel can be revealed to you. You can see it. Many causes for spiritual blindness. One of the tools that I want to talk about was spiritual blindness. Just being blind. I try not to get up here and spiritualize too much, the 18-wheelers, but I do get something spiritual out of it. Wow. Nobody else seems to find anything spiritual about them 18-wheelers being turned on. Not that I'm better than anybody, but I can't help but to get something spiritual out of it. You say, why? Try to be spiritual.
Right.
Amen. I'm trying to be spiritual.
Amen.
And there's a lot of other things I've thought about it. But there's a lot of reasons for spiritual blindness. The devil uses all kinds of things to create blindness in our lives. Such as pride. Pride will cause blindness. Ignorance. Following blind guides. Caring what others think. Caring what others do, disobedience, unbelief, and more. I mean, just goes on and on and on how the devil causes blindness.
When you are spiritually blind, you cannot see Jesus because you have hardened your heart and you won't come to the knowledge of truth. I still, Miss Kim, get stuck on that message Brother Church preached here on hardening your heart. I hadn't got past that one yet. That still is fresh in my mind. It's still fresh in my life. The hardness of heart. And here we are today, and people are lost. And I'm telling you, through the hardness of your heart, you will not come to the knowledge of truth. Don't mean you won't go to church, but you won't come to the knowledge of truth. We know God is real. We know that. But people reject Him, listen, because they love their sin and don't want to submit to Him. You know why you're lost? You love your stinking, filthy, godless sin.
That's right.
That's why people are lost.
Preacher, not me. Hey, you're lying to yourself. You're not fooling God. You're not fooling me. You're not going to fool a spiritual person. You love your sin more than you love God. And you will not come to Him.
That's right.
Then Satan comes along and blinds the minds of unbelievers so that they won't come to the truth. When a person is spiritually blind, listen, you're separated from God. Now, I don't want to get off in it today, but that's a good place to pick up Isaiah chapter 6. When a person is spiritually blind, they're separated from God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up and sitting upon the throne, and His train filled the temple. Oh, glory to God. When everything else got out of the way, he could see the Lord one more time. When self died, he saw the Lord. When the veil was removed, he saw the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
People ain't seeing God today. At that veil.
When you're separated from God, you will continue to lie to yourself.
When that veil's there, that separation between you and God,
God, me, the veil. When that veil's there, you're separated from God. And when you're separated from God, the only thing left for you to do is to start lying to yourself and telling yourself stuff that ain't so. Because that's something that you can get a hold of. Because you can't get a hold of God.
But we need something.
You'll deny the reality of God. God ain't no more real to you, sinner friend, than the man in the moon is real to me.
Yes, he is, preacher. You lied to yourself. God ain't real to you. If God was real to you, you wouldn't be in the mess that you're in. If God was real to America, if God was real to the world, this world wouldn't be worshiping cows. Amen. If God was real to America, the liver joints wouldn't have been full last night. If God was real to America, our prisons wouldn't be overflowing. If God was real to America, there wouldn't be a wicked man in the White House. There'd be a righteous man in the White House.
Amen.
God ain't real to us.
There's a form of God that we have here in America.
There's no power in Him.
People deny the reality of God. You'll take His word as false. Hey, sinner friend, you don't believe the Bible. You lie to yourself and say you do, but you don't believe the Bible.
You don't take God at His word. If you did, you'd be saved.
Yeah.
You think God's a liar. You think God's a fake. You think God's a phony. Here's what I come to do, Brother Zach. I come to plainly speak to folks and tell them the truth is that sinners think God is a bald-faced liar. Sinners think God is a phony. They don't believe in a holy God, Miss Stephanie. They might say it with their mouth, but not with their heart and not with their life. That's why they're lost. If you believed the Word of God, you'd be saved. If you believed the Word of God, you'd be saved. If a Calvinist would believe the Word of God over John Calvin, Calvinists would be saved.
Right.
And he'd no longer be a Calvinist. He'd be a Christian.
Right.
I'm not following John Calvin. I'm following Jesus Christ.
Right.
They weren't called Calvins first, bless God, at Antioch. They were called Christians first at Antioch.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. To hell with putting a name on me. Put Jesus' name on me. I don't need a man's name. Hey, you just call me pastor. That's fine enough. My pastor is a man of God. That's good enough for me. John Calvin. All the pastors of Campbellite. Bless God, that poor dying thief. He never had an opportunity to be a Campbellite. Man, don't need a man's name tagged on me like that. There's a lot of this that you'll find in the book of Isaiah, and I don't want to get off on it because I might try to break some of these thoughts down and chase it. But here's what Isaiah said, Brother Church. Who hath believed our report? I mean, really, who's believed it? I tell you who's believed it, those that are saved. Everybody else don't believe it. Don't believe it. That's the Bible. Don't believe it. Got that veil over your eyes. You can't see it to believe it. Takes God to break this thing through. And see, here's the problem, Brother Church. So many times God has tried and we've hardened our hearts. I'm going to tell you one of these days, friend. I don't want to get off. Don't want to get off. Maybe God does. One of these days, God's going to harden your heart.
Right.
And you think you something? Let me tell you something. You're going to realize what you are when God hardens the heart of your children. That's what's going to knock you out of your socks. When you see God harden the heart of your children. When your children spit in the face of God. It means a little more to us. You'll say with your mouth you believe in hell. I believe in hell. But that's a lie in your heart. That's a bald-faced lie. If you really believed in hell and you was going there without God, I believe with all my heart you'd do something about it. I believe that. I don't believe a person in their right mind, and there's new retards sitting in here. There's nobody out of their right mind in this building. But I don't believe a person in their right mind can believe in hell for what it really is and say, oh well, and not deal with it. I ain't talking about irresistible grace. If you truly believed in hell and that you're going there, I believe you'd get a little more serious about repentance.
Man.
Nobody in the right mind runs and jumps in an open flame. I said in the right mind. Now, them unclean spirits, they might cause you to do that. But nobody in the right mind, I said. Nobody ever brought that old maniac of Gadara back to Jesus after he got saved and talked about him cutting himself. Throwing himself in the water, throwing himself in the fire, running around the graveyard. Nobody ever done that again. He was in his right mind. Sinners lie to themselves and say they're good people.
I'm a good person. And I understand the meaning of being a good person. You know, because you can be lost and take your neighbor some groceries. That's a pretty good thing to do. You can be lost and go to church. That's a pretty good thing to do. You can be lost and read your Bible. You can be lost and pay your taxes. You can be lost and help the fellow man. You can be lost and lend a helping hand. You can be lost and do all kind of things, man. Let me tell you something. That right there will put you straight in the pits of hell. Because your righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God Almighty. If that's what you're counting on being a good person, I'm a good person. I hear that stupid stuff, folks. I'm a good person. Hey, nobody is good enough to go to heaven. Nobody. Right. If John the Baptist hadn't repented and put faith in Jesus Christ, he'd have died and went to hell. Amen. If Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, earthly mother of Jesus Christ, hadn't repented of her sins and put her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the mother of Jesus would have been in hell today.
Right.
Amen. She couldn't fulfill the law. How else is she going to get in?
Right.
Sinners will say, they believe in Jesus, but that's a lie as well. And we've convinced ourselves of these. Hey, sinner friend, you don't believe in Jesus. Now, that's my word against yours, but yours is a lie. And I'm here to tell you that you're a liar. You've lied to yourself. I'm not here to get one up on you. I'm not here using cunning devices. I'm not here to take an advantage of you. I'm not here to get your money. I'm not here using all those things that we already talked about earlier in this passage. But I'm trying to tell you through the manifestation of this gospel, God's let me see some things, and I'm trying to tell you what God's let me see in this passage. You say you believe in Jesus, you don't believe in Jesus. Listen to what the Bible says. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. When you believe that, when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you'll be saved. When you get a hold of that, you'll be saved. But until then, you don't believe that. Because if you did, you'd be saved. Mm-hmm. Whoso confesseth that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him. And he in him. God in him and he in God. You know what that is? That's plain Bible. Very clear scriptures. Don't just take that one verse. Go in there and look at them verses about the Son of God. Go over to your little World Wide Web or whatever it is, your little electronic device, and click Son of God. And make sure you click on the King James Version copy of that. And look up the Son of God in your King James Bible. And tell me those that truly believe on the Son of God ain't born again. Sure, they're born again. You can't confess Jesus is the Son of God without believing. Man, that's evidence of salvation. Zach come running through this church one night. I had no doubts. He come walking through this congregation on that Thursday night of that revival meeting, started right back up in here. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I mean the God of glory was bearing witness with it. Amen. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I'm telling you about right there where Miss Amory is a little bit to her right. The glory of God fell down about that spot. God said, he's right. That's right. He is my son. And the glory of God fell. And God was pleased. And it could have been a jackass that said it. God was pleased. God was pleased. Spiritual blindness is the reason the truth can be preached, but sinners still find excuses for their sin and rebellion.
You know why people live in sin? They can walk out of a church like this one. And by the way, I mean this with all my heart, without being arrogant or cocky or whatever it might come across. There's more gospel being sung in the lyrics of our songs than most Baptist churches will preach all month long in America. Right. We'll always listen to that, and can it be? I still listen to that back there. And I thought, man, it broke my heart. Most churches in America won't get that much truth today.
That's right.
They won't get a hold of that. That won't mean a whole lot to them, even if they did. But it's amazing that you can get the truth that you get and still walk away and find an excuse for your sin and your rebellion. You know why? Because you're blind. I want you to leave today and understand the reason I am what I am is because I'm blind and I refuse to come to God.
That's right.
It ain't that God won't do something. God's done everything needs to be done. And he sent you a preacher to tell you that you're blind and you're the one refusing. Amen. And there's reasons why you're blind. It's amazing that you can preach to people the gospel of Jesus Christ and they'll say, that's right, preacher. Isn't it amazing? I hadn't had nobody in here but since Eric's mama to sit there and openly run their mouth. Nobody said a word. Everybody's just feeding it. I mean, they're just eating. I'm throwing this food on the table, man, and so many times I realize, man, people is just eating. They're just eating. But never come to repentance and faith. Never come to repentance. You hear the truth? The truth is being preached. But there's no truth being accepted. The spiritual blind needs to cry out to God. But pride gets in the way. Do you hear that? Pride gets in the way. You can't get that veil removed because of pride. Pride has locked that thing in on you. A little old church like this, if pride had a smell, and it does in the nostrils of God. But if God would open our spiritual nostrils and let us smell pride, they ain't none of us could stand to sit in this building because we couldn't tolerate the stench. But that pride, ladies and gentlemen, and we're so proud of our pride. It's amazing. We get in our way. We are our biggest obstacles. We get in the way so many times and, my God, man, when there's nothing left, are you listening? When there's nothing left, we can reach down and grab us some pride. How many times have we heard it discussed in this place? You can go out there on the streets, crawl underneath an old tarp on the exit ramp and find you the scummiest, homeless hobo in this state. And I'll promise you, that man knows how to muster up pride.
That's right.
He'll start telling you a thing or two.
That's right.
Pride. You know what he's doing? All along, he's just locking that veil on. He don't see, and he's not going to see until he gets rid of that pride. He's going to stay blind and he's going to ride that pride train all the way to hell. All the way to hell. Hey, good job. Job well done. That pride served you well. Enjoy it in the lake of fire.
Pride stops people from seeking the truth. If people really want the truth, they'd stop asking people. They'd ask God. If you really want the truth, open up that book. It's got the answer to every question in life. God has done told the truth. The problem ain't us, Brother Zach, not having the answer. It's us agreeing with the answer. Right. And we need to keep working that system till we get the one we want.
That's right.
Maybe if I ask him this way, he'll trip up and say it my way. Pride. So what does people do? Choose to remain ignorant. You're very ignorant. And you're so blind you can't see how ignorant you are. Isn't it amazing? To prove a point, I guess, that all the other false religions in the world is never criticized and never persecuted. When's the last time y'all seen a Catholic persecuted? When's the last time y'all seen a Lutheran persecuted? When's the last time you seen a Methodist persecuted? When's the last time you seen a Pentecostal persecuted? I ain't talking about made fun of. I mean, some of them deserve to be mocked. But when's the last time you seen them persecuted? I'm going to tell you who's persecuted. Christians are persecuted. True religion, pure religion, Christians are the ones being persecuted.
That's right.
Why, Brother Zach? Because they're of the truth.
Right.
The truth is what's always been attacked.
That's right.
But praise God, his truth still marching on.
That's right.
Amen. You can't stop it. Paul said, if it's hid, listen, it's hid to them with the veil over their eyes. They're the ones that can't see. God forbid that I sit up here and try to trick them and fool them and be divisive and cunning and get an advantage over them because it's hid from them. But I'm here to uncover this thing, man, and tell you the truth about it.
Amen.
The Mormons ain't persecuted.
Right.
The Baptists ain't persecuting Jehovah's Witnesses. They're just trying to tell them the truth. And because they're so willingly rebellious and ignorant, the Baptist said, don't come back. That ain't persecution. You know why they're not persecuted? Because they're blind.
That's right.
They're blind. Would you believe that I had a Pentecostal, a good Pentecostal? Not a bad man, but a decent man. Would you believe that he told me that his church is full of sodomites now? What did you say in Sunday school? Wrong doctrine produces wrong living. Well, it's sweeping across the Baptist churches. You know why? Because, bless God, their preachers won't preach no more.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. They started compromising. They started chasing the dollar and they got a woman on their mind. Hey, you get a preacher that's got a woman in his eye and his congregation can go plumb to hell and he won't say nothing.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You pay close attention to your pastor. When he lets your sin start sliding, say, preacher, what woman you got on your eye? Call me out on some of that stuff. There's a reason people compromise. How much money is it taking, preacher, to get you to shut up?
That's for me.
I ain't learned better, bless God. If there's a better way, I don't want to learn better. I want to tell the truth till I die. Amen. I still believe in old time religion. Hallelujah. Amen. No matter how much money's out there, no matter how many women's out there, no matter what popularity you can gain, I don't give a flip. I'd just soon go home and kiss my wife. Amen. It's amazing that all the other false religions of the world like Catholics, Mormons, JWs, and Pentecostals are spiritually blind because they reject clear, crystal clear scriptures. They reject crystal clear scriptures. You know what that tells me? They're blind as blind can be. Infant baptism is out of hell.
There's some clear scriptures on baptism. There's an entire doctrine in the Word of God that clearly states a baptism, friend, and they have twisted it and rejected it.
That's right.
Sent millions of people to hell, baptized them as little old infants, sprinkling them. You can talk to a Pentecostal and tell him what the Bible says about talking in tongues, and he don't give a flip because he's talking tongues, or his mama talking tongues, or his godless grandma talking tongues. And if she had any God about her, she'd have been sitting there with a meek and quiet spirit.
That's right, man.
Whoa! But they're blind because they reject those scriptures. Yeah. They will not accept them. They'll take their experiences over the Word of God. You know what that tells me? They're blind. They're talking about Jesus. They're claiming Jesus. It's a lie. They don't know God. They don't know Jesus. Just this week, I had that good Pentecostal guy with us. And he's a good dude. Halfway shot. He let him shoot like Zach.
That's exactly right.
Brother Church, he gave me at least 3 testimonies that I wouldn't give you a piece of baloney for. I about bit my tongue off, Miss Holly, because I ain't want to fuss with no Pentecostal. They don't know God. They ain't no need even starting with them. But them suckers sit around and talk about, "Boy, I tell you, son, boy, man, he's in heaven now." I tell you, boy, he struggled for 80 years with alcohol. And I went to see him one day, and he told me, "I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And ain't nothing you can say to change my mind. I know I'm saved." He told me, "Hey, why don't you go down there and get them dogs and let's take them hunting." He said he was drunk. He said, "I went in there and got the dogs." He said, "When I was getting the dogs," he said, "I heard a big bang." He said, "He sat up there and blowed his brains out." He said, and he started crying. "I'm glad I know you were saved." Biting my stinking tongue off. Blind, Brother Church. Blind. Let me tell you what happens when a man that's a drunk gets saved. He quits drinking.
Right, man.
I said, let me tell you what happens to a man that's a drunkard that gets born again. He quits drinking, amen. You don't drink and die and go to heaven. You don't live like as a man liveth, so he dieth. You don't get to live like hell and die and go to heaven. That ain't Bible salvation. That's Baptist salvation.
That's right.
Modern day, because the Baptists before the Baptists learned better didn't preach that kind of stuff.
That's right.
Before money became prevalent in a Baptist church, that kind of stuff wasn't preached.
Amen.
Holy living was. Separation unto God was. Coming out from among them was. Being holy as he is holy was. Amen. Amen. And such were some of you was preached. Amen.
Amen.
That's what was preached. And now, bless God, they won't know if the sun's going to shine again tomorrow. Hey, if hell moves in, the sun is going to shine in my heart. Why? Because I have the S-O-N set on the throne of my heart. And come hell or high water, the sun is always shining.
Amen.
I said, praise God. Brother Zach, I went over to Psalms 113. He said, praise the name of the Lord from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. I've got enough sense to know when it sets over here, it's a rising in Japan. It's just good to praise God. It's always good to praise God. The sun is always shining.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Get saved. The sun will shine. Get right with God. The light will break forth.
That's right.
Ain't that what Isaiah said? Isaiah 58. They said, why are we fasting? Why are we doing all this? Why we go to church? Why are we paying tithes? And you ain't God, you ain't even took notice of us. And God said, is it a fast that I chose? God said, you'd be better off to afflict your soul than to go over there and do something like you're doing. Wouldn't that be a blessing? He said, I'll tell you, boys, when you do this thing my way, when you do it my way, he said, then shall thy light break forth.
Amen.
Amen. You shall be called the repairer of the breach. Amen. Glory to God. You can take them old broken places, them old broke down, them old burnt bridges. You can take them unbelievers. And man, you can bring them back to Jesus Christ. Amen. You can help them get rid of that enmity. You can take an old sinner by the hand and take God by the other hand and be a daysman between them and bring them back to where they ought to be. A repair of the breach. That enmity from the Garden of Eden. Well, that's my opinion of it. It's not a bad opinion, but opinions is like hind ends. They all stink. So let's see what God said about it. You should have shouted. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? This is not what your preacher says or your best friend or your enemy. It's what God said. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I don't believe it. I believe they say, God is a liar then, ain't he? That's what they just said. God's a liar. When you try to tell me people like that go to heaven, what you're telling me is God is a liar.
That's right.
God don't know what he's talking about. God is a myth. God is fake. God ain't real. God don't know. I'm telling you, that man said he was saved. I don't care. He can say he was saved till he turns blue in the face. God said, these folks don't inherit the kingdom of God. Compromising bunch of godless, spineless little cowards today. Won't stand up trying to make everybody their friend. Wanting everybody to be their friend. I'm not looking for enemies, but I'm looking for some real converts. You'll never get them converted by compromising. Amen. You'll never bend the word of God and win a single soul to God. Why is it that man can hear this clear word and still say something contrary to it?
Right.
He's blind. Right. Just blind. Why is it that a man can hear the gospel and not get a hold of it? He's spiritually blind. Spiritually blind. I want you to understand that one of Satan's greatest tools is blindness. Mm-hmm. He's blinded your minds so that you cannot clearly see the truth about you, about the gospel, about God, about eternity, or anything else that matters. Instead, he'll open your eyes to the faults of the preacher. You're the freshest one in here that's got a testimony. He'll open your eyes to the faults of the preacher. He'll open your eyes to the faults of everybody inside the building.
Right.
Ain't that something? The devil's so good to you that he lets you know what everybody in the building's doing? That ain't God. That ain't of God. That's Satan pulling that veil over your eyes to keep you from seeing God so that you can see everything and everybody else. He'll let you see all that just so you can think, I'm better than others.
That's right.
I'm better than they are. I'm as good as they are. Well, by God, if they're saved, then I'm saved. You know what that is? I'm not measuring my salvation the way Brother Church acts.
That's right.
I'm not measuring my salvation with the way Brother Sammy Allen finished the race. Somebody said to me over about 30 years ago, almost, said, What did Brother Sammy fail? I'd say, man, I thank God for the years he gave to the Lord. But I don't give a flip, son, whether they fail or finish. It ain't got nothing to do with my salvation.
That's right.
Let's roll off. Ain't got a thing in the world to do with my salvation. The way he lived and the way he died ain't got nothing to do with the way I live and the way I die. That preached word of God does, though, that he preached. Why do you think the world only persecutes Christians? The world don't have a problem with false religions. They don't come against the Catholic Church. They don't really come against the Mormons. They don't really come against the JWs. They're not the ones that's creating the problem with this world. The world don't have a problem with them. In fact, if you was to come out on YouTube or Facebook or go ahead and try it. You come out, if you got anybody that's got any, what carries any weight whatsoever, go ahead and go out there and just expose the Catholics. Go out there and expose the Mormons. Right. Go on out there and expose the JWs. Mm. They'll get mad at you. But last night, late this morning, early this morning, about 2 o'clock this morning, I was wrapping up some things. I said, well, let's stalk some folks on Facebook. No, I said, let's look at my phone. And I took my phone, I got to looking, and I love Tanya Spencer, and I seen somewhere where a man said, this was the title. It said, Things I Don't Like About Church. Or The Reason I Don't Like Church. Something like that. I can't remember verbally. You'd have to look it up to find out. But he went in there and said, you know, they was in church service, and they were having church, and a man forgot to turn his phone off, and they were in prayer, and the man's phone rung, and did anybody else see it? The man's phone rung, and the preacher just really scorched him, and I said, number one, I highly doubt the preacher had enough guts to scorch him. But it's a made-up story, so, you know, we got to kill the church and righteousness, and said, you know, the preacher just scorched him and humiliated and embarrassed him, and then on the way home, his wife just scolded him. I thought, why wasn't he a man? God, shut up, woman. It ain't your place to scold me and humiliate me. Right. It's your place, bless God, to defend me and stand by me and be my helpmate.
Man, right.
Why wasn't he a man? But anyhow, you know, besides all that stuff in me, you know, he was humiliated, and his wife just so verbally abused the little silly sucker. And so the next week he decided he wasn't going to go back to church because he's such a man. And he went to the bar, and he spilled his beer at the bar. And the waitress came and brought him a rag. And the janitor came and brought him up. And he was didn't apologize for letting his phone ring, but he apologized for spilling his beer. And said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean. And she was so kind and considerate and understandable or understanding and compassionate and said, oh, it's okay, sir. It's okay. We all make mistakes. I'm going to throw something. It's amazing that you can go to the bar and find more compassion and more considerateness, more understanding than you can in the house of God.
That's right.
I said, let me tell you something. I don't never respond much, but that ticked me off real good. Every bar I ever went to, bless God, we done our dead level best to knock each other's teeth out. That's what we call barroom brawls. It was never a peaceful, compassionate, understanding place. You step on somebody's toes at the bar, you better. About every bar I've ever been to, son, there was a fight involved. They're not compassionate, kind, considerate places. I said, let me speak on the behalf of their compassion. They'll take the little kids at home and, bless God, take all of daddy's money and let the kids starve to death. They're so compassionate.
They'll take a man and promote adultery and fornication in his life while his wife is sitting at home being a home taker, a home carer, and taking care of those children. Oh, the bar is so good. I said, let me say this. I ought to know I lost my daddy to a bar. Sitting around trying to make out like a bar so compassionate, the church is so misunderstanding. Turn your stinking phone off, little mealy mouth. Let's God take your phone and throw it in a river somewhere. What we need is God. We'd be better off if we never had a phone than if we had God. Amen. I said, we'd be better off if we never had a stinking phone in this world to get to God.
Right.
Amen. We'd be better off flat, broke, living in a box, bless God, with Jesus, than in the mess of this world that we're in today.
Amen.
We'd be better off being retarded knowing Jesus than we would conquering the world with all the education and dying and going to hell.
That's right.
Screwed this thing up so bad we don't know which way's right. And people have problems with stuff that I say. I'm telling you, we'd be better off a bunch of retards knowing God.
That's right.
The smarter people get, the stupider people get. Are you kidding me? Look at America, for God's sakes. Don't get mad at your preacher. It's the smartest. It's the elites in this world that's leading this country straight to hell. Smarter than all of us put together. But bless God, they ain't got an ounce. They ain't got a thimble full of common sense. A farmer would do much better in our White House, in our House of Congress, in the Senate, than all these fools put together.
That's right.
Sure he would. Good common sense up there. We've left that stuff, folks. I mean, we've left that a long time ago. Common sense, for God's sake. I told my cousin, went and got him, my nephew got him a $160,000 education. The government didn't pay for it. He went and got him a $160,000 education. I said, son, that education ain't worth a hill of beans if you come out without common sense. Yeah. With all you're getting, boy, get you some common sense while you're in there. And they can't teach that down there at Wake Forest. Wake Forest University cannot teach common sense, son. Mom and daddy's going to teach that and instill that in those kids growing up. That comes out of the home. World don't have a problem with false religions because Satan is the god of this world. You criticize false religions, they'll cut your head off. You can criticize. That's why you can't get by. That's why they're not persecuted, man. Everybody gets along with them. Their god is their god. Every one of them's got the same god. It's Satan. And you can go to that church and this church and that church and all of you die and go to hell. And the devil will never do nothing about it. You can come to a little church like this. Problems will arise. Disagreements will arise. Issues will arise. Why? Because Satan's going to come against it.
That's right.
They'll think you crazy for coming to a place like this. I can't get more than two or three people to follow me over on Facebook. Don't really give a flip. But about as fast as they turn me on, they turn me off. Man.
Amen.
Amen. I bet if that old man hanging on the wall back there was to click in, he'd tear the phone up shouting. Amen. He wouldn't know how to do it anyhow. If you expose false religion, the world will hate you. I gotta hurry. I am not even gonna get to the first point. I say these things so you'll open your eyes and lose your pride and humble yourself and look unto God. That's why I say a lot of the stuff that I say. Andrew Murray said this. I don't know a whole lot about him. It's probably good and bad. But this is a good statement. One great power to sin is that it blinds men so that they do not recognize its true character. And I said, man, that's a good statement. Another man said, the eyes are useless when the mind is blind. I read a story of some caves that go way back in them mountains up in Kentucky. And back in there, it goes so far back, Zach, that the leastest ray of light never penetrates. It winds so far back into those caverns. And there's little fish in there, Mama. And they call them blind fish.
They have eyes, but they can't see. They've been in the dark so long that their eyes are of no use to them anymore. Miss Stephanie, we've been in the dark so long, our eyes ain't doing us any good. We have eyes and can't see. You could turn the light on. They said you could go back there and turn the light on, and it wouldn't help those fish because they're blind now. The darkness has blinded them. It wouldn't help them see a bit. They had to use their other senses to catch their prey and operate. That's how most of us are operating today. It ain't through our eyesight. It's things that we've learned, things that we've heard. We know how to act. We know how to dress. We know how to smile. We know what not to say. We know all these things and still don't know God.
That's right.
What does the Bible say? If you love me, keep my commandments. He said, I'll pray the Father in John 14 and He'll give you another comforter. They may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Can't see it. That's why you ain't got it. You hardened your heart. You've rejected it. You've disobeyed. You dismissed it. You've walked out on him. And now you're at the place where I can't get saved. Neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live. You shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. I'm going to quit. I'm not going to expound on that. I'll pick that up somewhere else. But I want to make this statement to you. Bye. A couple weeks we came in here and I said, let's repeat a few words. And I said, let's say dog. And we all said dog. I said, let's say sheep. We all said sheep. I said, let's say ass. And I got some weird responses. Then I took it to the next level and said, let's say dumb ass. And I really, really lost my breath. I got kicked right in the gut. Now, I didn't just say anything, not one of those words that I say out of context, or not one of them, is not in the Bible. God has used every one of those words. God.
That's right.
In that context, God has used them. Mama, I didn't call somebody a dumb rear end. I wasn't referring to somebody's rear end that couldn't speak. Because I know everybody in here, I've been around you long enough to know that y'all's rear end can tell some secrets. Can you smell what I'm saying? And yeah, I've heard you tell secrets. They were some highly offended people at them Bible words. They'd really be offended if they followed me around, I would. They'd be offended if, they followed me around for about 3 days, they'd be offended. And if they followed you around for 3 minutes, they'd be offended. 3 days, 3 minutes.
Grandma actually knows.
I'm not trying to be stupid. God is my witness. We're sitting here. And one of the gentlemen called me in this place. God's my witness. One of the gentlemen called me yesterday and said, I want to tell you something, man. I forgot to say anything to you. The Lord's just brought it back to my remembrance. And I want to tell you, I thank you for that Sunday that you got up and you made us repeat them Bible words. Because it exposed some self-righteousness in my life. It exposed some self-righteousness to me that I didn't realize that was I was blind to it.
Amen.
And just having to say those things, sitting there in the house of God, exposed that to me. And it has helped me come clean with that.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, look, bud, I said, and God knows, well, I wasn't saying nothing to be vulgar. I wasn't saying that. God wanted me to use some of that stuff, Mama, to expose self-righteousness. If you remember, I said, there's enough self-righteousness in here today to sink the Titanic if it came in pounds. I don't like cussing. I don't like vulgarity. I don't like off-color words. I don't like off-color jokes. I try to live above reproach and you know, I'm not trying to bring that to the pulpit. I'm not even trying to take that to the job, Miss Holland. I don't practice cussing on my job. When I smash my finger, Zach could tell you. I just do a lot of grunting and groaning until somebody opens their mouth. Then I run them off, but I don't cuss. Not saying I won't tomorrow, I just don't practice it. You know why people get offended? Because they can't see their self-righteousness. Why that bothers people? They're self-righteous and can't even see it. And here I am, willing to be that sacrifice and put myself out there to be hated and ridiculed and talked about because people do. Not that I'm something good, but I was just trying to be obedient to the Lord. God sniffed out some self-righteousness in here that day. And God wanted to expose it. And if nobody else got any help, at least one of you gentlemen in here got some help that day. If nobody else did, I praise God for that. I want to give God praise for that. I just want to give God praise for that. Not because I'm some jerk or some idiot or some foul-mouthed preacher. I was trying to give Bible words. We can't even say Bible words.
That's right.
You know, there's a lot of churches in America that will come across that very word right there, ass. I'm not going to hold back from it. They'll come across the word ass, and they'll skip over it. You know, there's a lot of self-righteous church. The preacher will be reading the scripture, and he'll skip over the word. What in the name of God's wrong? I tell you what's wrong. They got an evil eye.
Right, that's right. Amen.
Ain't nothing wrong. That's a clean word. Amen. God spoke that word. God put that in the Bible. God thinks it's okay. And if it's used in the correct contents, it's holy and right and just.
That's right.
Every word of God is pure. You know why we can't see it? We're blind. We're blind. And we start seeing, we can start seeing the fault in the preacher for saying something like that. And that's going to keep you blind and send you to hell one of these days. I'm not doing that to be mean. We'll pick back up. I want to cover some things in here that what causes our blindness. I didn't get to the root of nothing, Harley. Just saying some things. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to share your word. And God, be able to just preach and scream and holler, God. I thank you, Lord. God, you chose this. This is what you chose. And I'm trying to be your servant, your obedient servant, Lord. And trying to follow you and obey you and do the best I know how, God, to please you. Lord, I pray that you could take it and use it for your glory and for your honor, God, to help remove the veil from some eyes. And God, open the understanding and let some people see. Let the light break through. Oh, God, and I know that's what you want to do, and that's what you're trying to do, but people keep fighting and resisting and rebelling and turning and sinning, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd bring them to an end of that. Help them, oh, God, to look beyond that veil and see the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.